G'day. So we're further exploring the post-consumer transitioning. We're going to look at the nature of the bureaucracy or the technocratic managerial paradigm that we're beholden to, but explore this through the concept of the outsourcing of care. And so I want to kind of break down, if we think the nature of managerialism as a paradigm is something that we cannot escape it wherever we go. Then, in order to explore what would be post-consumer, and so therefore post the management of our form of life, I want to break it down into the practical applications of this by looking at ultimately what we substantiate when we do outsource care. So, if we no longer manage want or the agency that we're credited with as a consumer, then we're not managing the relation in reference to it. So you always got to think that if we only credit ourselves with so much, then that presupposes the management of the relation that we substantiate when we're orientated towards life through crediting ourselves with a want of life and not life's to be not being life's co-creators. So we always have to credit ourselves with the full scope of our agency to then to credit the, because ultimately if we do that, then we're going to be crediting ourselves with the world that we create. So would we be creating a world where we outsource care in the way how we've done? So when you outsource care, what does that mean? You basically are commercializing things that you should care about, because it means to say that what would otherwise be the domain of the relationality is not given to the domain of an intimate relationality, so a cultural kind of ethos that you would share with other people, but you reduce your care to the rationalization, and so we could say the economization that we presuppose when we're orientated towards life, about that's ultimately about securing our time against. So when we secure our time against each other, we ultimately, the problem with that is that we reduce our everydayness, our relationality, to a circumscribed domain of our agency, which is our want. And the only reason why we do that is because we presuppose the equivalence of time with the value that we designate for it. Because if you think that if the whole mode of our being is to be orientated towards our independence to achieve a conditional freedom, then ultimately we turn time into the means to achieve that. But through equivocating time with a value that we designate, then ultimately what we do, we destroy the existential integrity for the care of ourself and ultimately the care of others. And so we outsource care, and so we outsource the care of self for ourself. So yeah, and so in that way, where there's an irresponsibility that we immunize when we don't credit ourselves with the full scope of our agency. But the only way that you can credit yourself with the full scope of your agency is by ultimately looking at the credit for your time. So if time is derivative of a bond that we make with each other, and so we cannot be indivisibly given towards life because we have to accrue credit in order to live, that gives you an indication that our credit is beholden, is derivative, and so therefore it's not necessarily ours, because we have to secure it in order to be given to be given credit to live. So you only have to think of our way of life is always about qualifying our credit, our worthiness of something. So whether or not it's a license, whether or not it's credit worthiness as far as financial kind of situation, it doesn't matter. You're always going through a process of qualifying you. So whether or not it's for your job, you could say now with the mandates, you're looking at a social credit system, which is making it explicit. And I've said this prior, that gives you an indication that the credit that you would accrue is derivative of an existential bond that you make. Now, obviously, power leverages the bond that we make with each other. So it's not that the issue is not with power, it's the way of life and the form of life that we produce, that we collectively produce, that enables power to leverage ourselves. And so in that way, this means to say that you're taking responsibility for the world in which you create, even knowing there's a disavowal of responsibility, because we only credit ourselves, being consumers, we only credit ourselves with a want of life. And so when we think of that, when you no longer manage, say, want or our agency, that's ultimately you're shifting it from the want of a consumer to creativity that would be post-consumer. And so once again, that you could look at this as that, okay, I understand that, but then if I'm outsourcing care, I'm only outsourcing, what's the outsourcing of care in reference to? Well, we can say there's a certain constraint, or there's a limitation, a scarcity kind of mindset. So you would have to think, well, what's the thing that we're scarce, what we don't have enough of? And we would say, well, it would be our time. Because if we're securing our time against each other, then ultimately we only have a finite amount of time. But our understanding of time is derivative to the effect of the value that we attribute to it, or the claim that's been made on it, because we have to acquit ourselves of the claim because we have no credit. So when we say that we don't have enough time, it's not that we don't have enough time, because we don't actually have any time, because it's not ours. All right, this is the thing. It's not ours in the sense that if it's borrowed, what does that mean that it's borrowed? We literally create a paradigm of rentism, as it were, because we're not given credit for being existentially given, because we don't have a culture that nurtures that. So if our credit is provisional, then really what we're doing is we've created a way of life where we essentially are rent-seeking. And you only have to look at everything in our way of life is ultimately about rent-seeking. So you can understand that the global reset is qualifying basically the credit that we would accrue in reference to a command that will dictate the orientation towards life, or the paradigm that would be created post that reset. And so therefore the continuum, if you're looking at it from the aspect of the form of life, the continuum is the maintenance of the way how we outsource care. Now, our outsourcing of care, if it relates to the credit that we don't credit each other with, will maintain the management of our agency. And so therefore the leveraging that's implicit within our agency, or the form of life. So if you look at that and think, okay, well, if you're looking at the outsourcing of care, what's the first thing that you need to have look, if you're looking at a care of self, let's say, what's the principal thing that we would have to look at if we truly care for ourselves? So look at it from our perspective, because it really does relate that if we can look at it, what we are cared for, all right, in our lives, then that's going to give an indication of the outsourcing of care that we can see in our economy as such. So do we have a care of self if we are acquitting ourselves of a claim that's been made on a time? Now, if we have a care, what's care? Care should, but there should be a certain element of awareness or certain understanding of what it means to care for something. You have a grasp, we could say, over what it is that you care for. So we care for our marginal self. And so we presuppose that to be orientated towards life is to be marginally given towards it. And so we can say that we are, if we're marginally given towards life, then our actions substantiate the care for that self that's marginally given. But we would not say that. We would say that we want to be orientated towards life indivisibly given, to be indivisibly given, to be wholly given, to experience life to its fullest. So if the issue here, if you're orientated towards life where you're marginally given towards life, and yet so therefore your care is in reference to that marginal self, how can you release? What's binding ourselves to basically only having a care of self that's only really, we only care for that marginal self? We only care for the interest that this self is invested in. So think of what that means, that if the self is marginally given, then obviously it's given through an interest that is orientated towards its life. So that would mean to say that your interest, well, how are we interested in our lives? We're interested in what? Do you say you're interested in things, but what does interest mean here? Does interest mean to say that you can take it or leave it? But then you would say, well, you can't take or leave your own life if you're orientated towards life. But then you can say that the choice that's given in reference to one choice, say another, so an opportunity cost, we can say that that orientates as a kind of a pivot or a switch within our lives. And so therefore, if our way of coursing through our lives is through a marginal interest. Is the marginal interest a way of orientating us towards an indivisible interest? Not an indivisible interest, but something that's beyond the marginal interest that, say, that we maintain, to something that ultimately we're fully orientated, or we're indivisibly given towards. So you can say, if you're charting your course of your life and you're looking at signs, let's say, so you'll do something and you're orientated in such a manner where you only have a marginal interest in it. But then the more that you do it, the more that you find that you really love what you do. To shift from the interest into love is that kind of gap, or you can say is a transition where you're no longer marginally given to what you do, but what you do is that you're starting to express maybe your being through what you do. And so therefore you lose interest in what you do because you have a love of what you do. And so that transition, if you put it into that simple terms of the interest that you have for something and the love that you have for something, and essentially the transition, you can reduce that right down into our paradigm as to what we actually have to do, and then relate it down now to the outsourcing of care. Because if the outsourcing of care, what's the outsourcing of care in reference to interest? Well, if you cannot care fully, so let's look at children. Children's a classic example that we create a way of life where the one of the principal things that we could do if we're orientating our children towards them being indivisibly given or beyond interest to a love, well, then how do we orientate them? How do we set out a way where they would emulate basically that love? So not go through the interest that they would have, but then to be orientated towards, wholly given towards an expression of love. Now, if you think that the only reason why we have an interest is because we're marginally given, and the only reason why we're marginally given is because we have to acquit ourselves of a claim that's been made on time because we're securing our time against each other because we presuppose an independence because we equivocate time with a value, then you've got to look. That is literally the thing that you need to look at, the mechanism that you need to look at in order to understand that the interest that we presuppose for our children is really given in reference to that claim that's been made on time. And because ultimately, if we are marginally given, but we're ultimately orientated towards a love of what we do, why do we presuppose that we have to burden our children with this way of life in order for them to try explore love, all right, to acquit themselves? Because in that case, you can understand what you're doing is that you are making love conditional. You're making the love of what you do conditional upon acquitting yourself of a claim to be marginally given, and then to go through the whole kind of initiation of interest, of trying to explore, always having to acquit yourself of a claim because you have no credit. You have no credit for your life because it's derivative of the bond that you make with everybody else. And so therefore you have to do that. But then at the same time, you have to have that marginal interest because you're acquitting yourself of your claim, but then through that interest, you're hoping that you might be orientated towards something that you love. And yet, so you have this thing where you've got the heart and the head. And yet, so when you have the heart and the head, if the head rules, all right, then you can start to outsource the care of that relates to your life. So whether or not it's looking at children as far as care goes, so you're looking at, like, you know, childcare is a classic example. You're going to think you've outsourced care for your child because really you're acquitting yourself of a claim that's been made on your time because you're securing a conditional freedom, right? Because ultimately you're orientated towards independence. And so that gives you an indication of the relationality that you've reduced your average relationality with people to when you are orientated towards that conditional freedom or that independence. So that means to say that the only reason why you can outsource care is because of how impoverished our average relationality is with the people that we share the world with. So if everybody, if that's our current paradigm, and then you think, okay, is there a way that if you question your life and you're questioning our way of life potentially. And then you're questioning to a point where what you're doing is that you're understanding that in order to be orientated, if we are going to credit ourselves with creating a new world beyond the paradigm that's given now, this authoritarian kind of drift, that is this making itself explicit because it has to reveal itself so you can see it for what it is. And I always say it's got nothing to do with the political political actualization of, say, totalitarianisms. It's got to do with the existential nature of the totalitarianism that we are beholden to. So as I always say, the existential totalitarianism is given prior to the political manifestations of it. So whether or not you're looking at, say, fascism, or you're looking at, say, communism, or any form of kind of collectivism, or that relates mainly to the way how a power apparatus is outside yourself and is ultimately leveraging your life. So when you understand that that existential totalitarianism is antecedent to basically those things, then ultimately what is that? That forces you to look at your own life, because then you're thinking, well, how does, if there's no outside to the claim that's been made on our time when it's given as an economic good to produce the form of life of the consumer, and I'm a consumer of life because I'm market orientated, that's what the current paradigm is. It's commerce. It's like it's free market enterprise in inverted commas. And yet what is free about that? What's the free? What's the one thing that you're not free to choose? The way how time is given to you, right? And that gives you an indication that that's the choice that you have to make. Because anything that says that you have free enterprise, it's conditioned upon that one choice that we feel that we don't make. But that one choice that is the Archimedean point that immunitizes a transcendental claim over your life to then get you in a holding pattern and then to start to outsource care. So outsource care relates to, children, relates to the world at large. It relates to the power, the political apparatus of state. It relates to your relationality, the outsource of care. If you're reducing relationality down to want, then your care is reduced to that and you don't care beyond it. It's only when it affects you in your own private concern that you care, right? But otherwise you don't, because it's secondary to the preeminent good of your time that you're always securing against people, all right? And so in that way, that you can understand how foundational the way our time is given, or when we equivocate time with a value, or we presuppose time as a means, when we practice an existential arbitrage and we absence ourselves. So when we absence ourselves in an arbitrage, that can give you an indication of the absencing of the caregiver for a child to be orientated towards life in a way where they can be wholly given towards it. So if you think of the education of a child that goes from, say, that maybe the care that a mother would have, and then its orientation into a wider orbit, all right, so it socializes, through school. But then what's that school given? If that school is orientated towards vocational training and it's ultimately about removing the creativity of a child, so they're marginally given, and so therefore they can, if they're marginally given, that means they're docile, that means they can start to now outsource care, because ultimately education in that is an example. The institution of education is the outsourcing of care. All right, so because it's not the domain of the relationality that you potentialize with other people that care for their children. All right, so you can understand why homeschooling, in that way, people understand that they go and homeschool their children, because that means to say that their schooling is orientated towards the intimacy of obviously the care and the love that you have with your child. But then you ultimately have to look at the way how that you can create a schooling environment that is addressing what? It's not addressing, if even in homeschooling, it's not addressing the issue of culture, because the issue of culture is transcendent to education, because you don't have anything that you're really orientated towards to give context to that education. So if the education, if you're looking at, well, okay, what are we beholden to when we're looking at the way how we educate and we outsource care that relates to education? Our children are meant to be marginally given. They're meant to acquit themselves of a claim that's made on time because they're orientated towards a conditional freedom or an independence that reduces a relationality down to want. Okay, so they're conditioned through social media now. the preoccupation with self is in reference to the want of a self, so therefore to not have existential integrity because you're meant to be marginally given. So the envisaging of life, the models that mediate the preoccupation to be drawn outside through derivative ecstasies is a way how that you entrain your vision to not see the world or to reduce your care to that limited domain. So if this is the thing, this is why if you understand all that and you are one person, but then you are multiple people, if people have an understanding of the way how the world works, so through a questioning, you know, the form of life and the way of life, then what you're doing is that you're creating a community of like-minded people where they can start to no longer outsource care, but make care the domain of their relationality. So if you are no longer a consumer of life, and as I always say, a consumer is not a person that buys shit. It's the totalizing claim that's made on our temporality. So through the existential arbitrage, we create the limited domain of our agency of want because we're acquitting ourselves of a claim because we presuppose time has a value so that we work with that equivalence because of we're seeking that conditional freedom. When you understand that, well, to create a common surpassing that I share with other people would mean to say that my care is not given towards the individualized understanding of my time or the derivative claim that's made on time, so the way I acquit ourselves of it, but I'm orientated towards a care of self that's given within the relationality, so it's given between. And this, because then in that way, your understanding of self qualitatively shifts. It becomes liminal. Human being is a liminal being. We're always liminal. And so what that means is that the care of self is in between because your self is given in reference to your in-betweener. It's given in reference to your relationality. So the more that you potentialize a relationality, so if you potentialize a relationality of creativity and of love, then you are the embodiment of love because it's given within between people. It's what what's the glue? It's the glue that brings you together. It's what congeals you, right? Rather than tying, you know, the way how we individualize time and we have this bondage because we're binding ourselves together because we have this conditional freedom or independence, and it's because we're always seeking our time against each other. And so, but yet as a result of that, we collectively bind ourselves into a fasci or that. And, you know, existential totalitarianism. But when you understand that the self, the interbeingness of our being, or the being with, or the sociality, the relationality of our being is the determining factor, then ultimately that's driven by the care that we would otherwise outsource, you start to see an inversion. And so, but that relates to the way how we're marginally given. So if we're only marginally given, well, what's the nature of how is it that we're marginally given? So you're going to understand that marginality is predicated upon acquitting ourselves of a claim that's been made on time. And that essentially the credit that we accrue, that's derivative of that bond. So once you understand that the bond that you make, the only reason why we have a derivative credit is the bond that we make with each other. If you make that bond with another person, that's not a bondage, right? But you still have, you're making an oath, you could say. You're doing something completely different because you're looking at the cultural dynamic. Because rather than being the spirituality of independence, you're looking at indivisibility as the ideal. And so therefore, the nature of the bond that you have with a person is qualitatively different. Because you've got to think that if you're looking at different spiritualities, the spirituality determines the relationality. And if it determines the relationality, that the bond that you have with another person is either a totalizing claim, all right, where you manage basically the agency that you credit yourself with, you know, or you manage the agency that you're really essentially releasing. And so you're releasing management because ultimately you're freeing each other collectively together, a common surpassing. Anyway, so I just thought that this is another way to look at, to transition to post-consumer, to look at it from the way how that we outsource care. And that when we no longer manage our agency, that we no longer have to manage it in reference to the relationality that we substantiate. So when we credit ourselves, each other with creativity, then ultimately we share in the creation of a world where when that care of self can be indivisibly given. And so therefore through that we share a world of a creation of a world where we no longer have to outsource The management of self. Anyway, until next time, take care.